Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
Joshua chapter 3 verse 1 says, as it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites, they set out from... Now I got to stop right there because in church, that's a dangerous word. All the Israelites set out from Shittim. And went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, and you are to move out from your positions and follow it, then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Skipping down to verse 17, I want you to see this verse. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood firm on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Last week was Vision Sunday, and I talked about where we're going as a church, and we laid out this theme and this word as we move into our next year, and the theme is stand firm, that God's calling us to stand firm as a church. And so I thought tonight it was fitting as we continue, before we get into our collection next week, on our anniversary Sunday, I want to preach tonight from the subject, put your foot down. Put your foot down. Look at your neighbor, say, put your foot down. Look at the other neighbor, the one you're not so certain about, and say, put your foot down. And would you pray with me tonight? Lord, we thank you so much that you brought us here. And God, tonight we sent you in this place, and so we say, come. We haven't come in here, Lord, for an event, and we haven't come to be entertained, but Lord, there's people in this room tonight that are desperate, that are hurting, that are broken. I pray, Lord, that you would speak right to their situation, speak right to their circumstance. Lord, let us leave here better than how we came. Let us leave here, Lord, knowing who we are in you. God, today we believe the best truly is yet to come. We love you. We praise you. And if you believe it tonight, come on, all of God's people said. Amen. Come on, all of God's people said. Amen. Oh, come on, VU Church, 6 p.m. If you love God, go ahead and make a little bit of noise from the back to the front. Last week, I had a bit of an incident take place. Close to a very serious accident. I hate to say this, but as I get older, those of you that go to our church, you sort of know as I tell you story after story that the older I get, it's like the clumsier I get. I don't know. I'm like accident prone. And I was out on my friend. My friend has this new boat. It's like this massive, big, gorgeous, beautiful yacht. And we had the privilege to go and take a ride on it. Everyone's always like, oh my goodness, I want a boat. Let me tell you, you don't want a boat. You want a friend who has a boat. And so I'm hanging out, like doing my thing and with the guys and everything. And all of a sudden I'm on the bottom of the deck, and this thing's like three floors. And I see the top and I'm like, oh my goodness, I feel like the Lord is calling me to jump off the roof. And it's about a 20 foot drop. And it's so funny because I'm 34 years of age, but like dudes, we're hilarious, right? Because like the older we get, we're still the little boy from the block, right? We're still competitive. I got to the top, I was like, I'll go first. Like, why, you know? And I got to the top of this boat, and the thing was that all there was like a railing up there. Yeah, no platform, just a railing. Most of you know I'm an incredible athlete, but shut up. And so I wasn't thinking much, and so I go to jump off this boat, and I quickly step onto this rail, and when I do, my foot slips. I know it was like 1 second, but baby, it felt like forever. Literally, I start falling. As I'm falling, my body is like slowly pivoting towards the boat. And in my mind, I said, oh my God, I'm about to die. Like, it's crazy how your life flashes before your eyes. I should have hit the boat, but praise God, I did not. Somehow, by the grace of God, I was spared. But instead, I fell 20 feet from the boat, and 20 feet from top of the boat, and I landed right on my side in the water. Have you ever been so physically hurt, yet your ego was hurt even more? I came out of the water, and all I could hear was these dudes on top of the roof going, oh my God, are you alive? It took me a moment to turn around. I had a tear coming down my eye. And literally, the wind was knocked out of me. I'm in the water, not looking back at these guys. And they go, what happened? And I said, I didn't get my foot down. My foot slipped. And that which was meant to not be that difficult became very, very dangerous. It's amazing, right? Even as I was there in the water, I discovered a principle that most of us know, and that is that if you don't get a firm foundation, if you don't get a firm foothold, so often the thing that shouldn't be very difficult can become very dangerous in your life. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm a pastor's kid, and my dad used to travel all the time, and I had three other brothers, and so there was four of us growing up in this house. So my mom was raising four boys in the house. And I wish I could say that we were always good Christian boys, but that's just not the truth. We were demon-possessed most of the time. And my mom, she would always come to this moment when we were all acting up. I don't know if your mom ever said this, but she would finally say, that's it. I'm putting my foot down. Enough is enough. And that was, yo, the buck stops here. Change is coming to the Wilkerson house. We are not moving forward with this type of attitude, with this type of behavior. I'm putting my foot down. So in the spirit of my mom, I felt like tonight on anniversary Sunday service that I wanted to say to us corporately, but to some of you even individually, that tonight is the night that you put your foot down. Tonight is the night that you say, enough is enough. I'm moving into my future. I'm stepping into all that God has for me. Come on, 6 p.m. If you believe it tonight. I'm gonna get my foundation. I'm gonna get my footing. See, since we've started this church, we've never had a goal to be a perfect church. It's not about perfection. What it is about progress. So often people, as they hear this idea, well, how do I stand firm? It's simple. You just gotta put your foot down. Then you gotta put your other foot down. You gotta put your other foot down. You don't have to take the biggest steps, but you gotta take some steps. Tonight, I want to look at this story in Joshua chapter 3. It's an interesting story. I think it's really fitting for where we were at last week. Some of you might have missed last week, but let me just bring you up to speed. Last week, we studied this man by the name of Moses, and we read from a story in Exodus chapter 14. Just bringing you up to speed, Moses, he took the Israelite people out of captivity in Egypt. He leaves Egypt, and as he's on his way to the promised land, which was what he was destined, which he was supposed to do, he's headed towards the promised land with all of the Israelites. But as he gets out into the unknown, his first obstacle is there's this Red Sea in front of him. Right. To make matters worse, he doesn't just have the Red Sea in front of him. Now the Egyptian army has changed their mind, and they're chasing after him. So he's got obstacles in front of him and enemies behind him. I want to let you know tonight that when you step into your future, oftentimes you will feel like I got obstacles in front of me and I got enemies behind me. But it was in that moment that Moses proclaimed to the people, stand firm and God will deliver us. He said, be still. And as they got still, God spoke. God said, stretch out your arms over the sea and move on. So Moses puts his arms out. The Red Sea parts. All of the Israelites, they make it to the other side. When the Egyptian army tries to come and get them, as they make their way into the Red Sea, the waters come back over them. They never lifted a sword. They never picked up a shield. God fought their battles for them. All they had to do was stand firm and God delivered them. That was last week, but now here today in Joshua chapter 3, we're discovering something has happened. For Moses led the Israelites out towards the promised land. But as you read the story past the Red Sea, what you'll find that happens is that Moses, he disobeys God out in the wilderness. And because he disobeys God, God says there's a consequence. You will never, ever walk into the promised land. And the scripture says that what was meant to be about a month journey turned into 40 years of wandering. The fastest way to delay your destiny is disobedience. God's like, look, I don't need much, but if you want to step into all that I have for you, it will require responsibility and obedience on your part. Moses chose his own path, and because of it, there was a consequence. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Have you ever been on a road trip with a child? You get 15 minutes out of your driveway heading up to Disney World, and they go, Mom, are we there yet? Shut up, kids. Imagine 2 million people out in the wilderness wandering around for 40 years. Guess what they did? They started to complain. But this is where we meet this individual by the name of Joshua. Joshua was different from everyone else around him. Joshua did not have the same spirit, the same attitude, the same perspective as the rest of the Israelites. Rather, Joshua, he began to follow. He began to serve. What I love about Joshua is that before Joshua led, he followed. You see, the seeds you sow in following is the harvest you will reap in leading. And if you can't get under, don't be surprised if you don't ever get over. The Israelites, they wasted all their time complaining, but not Joshua. He invested his time into learning. And for 40 years, he was around Moses, and he was serving Moses, and he was the captain of the Israelite army, and he was executing the plan of Moses, and he was making sure he would take all the strategies, and he would go out, and he would fight on behalf of Moses. You see, what many people thought was wandering was actually training. Some of us tonight, you feel like you are in a season of wandering, but I want to submit to you tonight, if you would change your perspective around, God is actually developing you and God is actually training you. All you got to do is stand firm, put your foot down. You see, I wish I could tell you tonight that as we hear this word stand firm, many of us, our mind goes to the spotlight, but it's not about the spotlight. It's about the shadows. It's not about the promised land. It's, can you stand firm in the wilderness? It's not about the memorable moments. It's about the mundane moments. That's what this is about. It preaches good. It lives a whole lot better. Some of you tonight, standing firm is not about showing up to church and going, I'm standing firm. It's about tomorrow when you go back to that job that you're not sure if you can make it through. Can you steward the mundane moment? See, I'm gonna be honest. I have learned that the way that I steward my mundane moments is what creates my memorable moments. Like my life, it's full of monotony. And so is yours. Yet some of you are running from it because you want spotlight and you want promised land, but you don't realize in order to get to the promised land, you've got to walk through the wilderness. I started like taking inventory on my weeks. Like, it's monotonous. I go to meetings. I sit in meetings. To this day, I still read every report that comes through VU Church, every growth track report, every kids report. I just read through it. I listen. I talk. I write. I've been preaching now full-time for 11 years. It still takes me all freaking week in front of my computer putting my words together. Some of you are like, man, doesn't show. Shut up. I still check in with our elders. I still sit in counseling meetings. I still show up for run-throughs. I still show up for rehearsals. I still meet with angry people at VU Church. But you know what I've learned? I've learned that me stewarding those mundane moments, that's what creates all the memorable moments. Did you know that in 3 years, we see close to 4,000 people turn up every Sunday at VU Church? I think that's something to shout about. In 3 years, they call Miami a graveyard for churches, but in 3 years, we're in 2 locations. Come on, in 3 years, we've seen 7,000 people give their life to Jesus. I wish I could get a witness on a Sunday night if you'll just steward the mundane. You know what our problem is, though? Our problem is that we love to waste our wilderness. We waste our season in the wilderness. We complain about it. We sulk about it. We pout about it. We talk about it. I don't know what it is about God, and I don't know what it is about life and the faith journey, but I am telling you tonight that if you will make a decision right here, right now, tonight, to say, I'm putting my foot down, I'm going to lean in, even in this wilderness season, there's something about the wilderness that God loves to use it to work you into the man of God, work you into the woman of God that he's called you to be. This is the story of Joshua. This is what we discover about his life. We now have found in Joshua chapter 3 that Moses has died, and now Joshua is the successor. He is leading. For 40 years, he's been wandering, but now he's leading the people. And his first day on the job, he leads 2 million people to the banks of the River Jordan. And it's there at the River Jordan that the command goes out to the people. And the command is this. Is that as the Ark of the Covenant moves forward, keep a distance, but follow it, for the Lord is taking you away that you've never been before. I know we've got people in our church tonight that you're going, the Ark of the Covenant, what is this? Is this like an Indiana Jones movie? What are we talking about? This is why I never come. It's so weird, you know? Freaking. And we don't chat nearly enough about it. We are a New Testament church. We believe that the Old Testament is there to show us the character and the nature of God. But we also believe that Jesus came, fulfilled all that was in the Old Testament. And today, by grace, through faith, we receive all that which he already accomplished. But we still should take time to understand what these things mean. The Ark of the Covenant was a golden chest. And it had many, many symbolic meanings. On the inside of the Ark of the Covenant was three different items. The first item was the Ten Commandments, which represented God's authority, God's law, God's power. The second item was a jar full of manna. You say, what's manna? Manna was like Pop-Tarts from heaven. Sort of. Manna was heavenly bread that was sent every day in the wilderness that sustained the Israelites. And the manna in the jar represented God's sustenance, God's provision. The third item was Aaron's rod. Aaron was the brother of Moses, and he helped lead the people out of Egypt, and the rod represented God's protection and his guidance. Yet that wasn't the biggest thing about the Ark of the Covenant. The biggest thing about the Ark of the Covenant was the Ark of the Covenant went with the people everywhere that they went, and whenever they set up camp, they set up a thing called the tabernacle. I taught on this last year. The tabernacle essentially was the first mobile church that they would set it up. VU Church is very, very biblical, by the way. We're a mobile church. But there in the holiest of holies, the Ark of the Covenant would be placed, and only the high priest could come and get near it. For in the holiest of holies, it was there that he would pray for the sins of humanity. He would pray for atonement, that our sins would be taken away. For at the Ark of the Covenant, that's where God's presence was. It's interesting as you read the stories. I know once again, this might be a far stretch for some of you that are new to the faith journey, but the Ark of the Covenant, as you read the stories in the Old Testament, if you ever touched the Ark, you would die. Like there's account after account of people having physical contact with the Ark, and when they did, they literally died. You say, why? It's because God is holy. God is just. God is perfect. Humanity is corrupt. Humanity has challenges. Humanity is weak. And if we're ever to come into the presence of God, a holy, perfect God, his glory alone would bring us to our end. For the wages of sin is death. Spoiler alert, this is why I love Jesus. Probably should give some good news there. Because we believe that Jesus was God in the flesh, and we believe that 2,000 years ago, he went to a cross and his blood covered all of my sins and canceled all of my sins. And because of his sacrifice, guess what? God's presence is not confined to a box. God's presence is not confined to a place. But wherever I go, I can call upon the name of God through Jesus, and I have access at any moment, and he meets me where I am. But this was not the moment then. This was old covenant. And so wherever the ark went, the people followed. And so the command came through. Let the ark go in front and stay at a distance. What they were saying was follow God's presence. For he is about to take you away you have never gone before. And I hear the word of the Lord for our church. Our job, our responsibility, it's to simply follow his presence. I want to be as clear as I possibly can tonight for us. This year will not look like last year. He's taken us away we've never been before. I believe he's doing something new. I believe no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in store for VU Church. All we got to do is get behind his presence, for his presence goes before us, behind us, and even around us. And so if you're scared tonight about the future, remind yourself, I've never gone this way before. If it intimidates you, you've never gone this way before. If you're walking on knees that are wobbling, you've never gone this way before. This doesn't feel natural. It shouldn't feel natural. You've never gone this way before. Some of you, you're hearing this corporately for our church, but you now need to receive it individually for your life. Some of you started a business this past year and you're going, it's harder. It's more difficult. I thought harvest was coming, but I feel like I'm in a dry season. I feel like I'm in a wilderness. I want to remind you, you've never gone this way before. Put your foot down. Put one foot in front of the other. Walk into your destiny. I've never gone this way before. It shouldn't feel natural. It should be scary. I've never gone this way before. I've never gone into my fourth year. I've never led a church like this. I've never gone this way before. I need his presence. I follow his presence. Scripture says that Joshua, he comes out. This is his first big speech. He's like, okay, Moses gave us that one speech 40 years ago. Here's my chance. Okay. He says this, he says, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow God will do amazing things among us. That's his speech. Whew, that was good. That's my first one. That was good. This word consecrate is an interesting word. It means to set apart. What was Joshua saying to the people? He was saying, you need to remove and you need to replace. There's some stuff you got to get rid of. There's some stuff that doesn't belong in your life. There's some stuff you're carrying from your past that if you carry it any longer, you'll never step into your future. That relationship can't go with you. That way of thinking, it will not get you into your promised land. Consecrate yourself. See, I've learned that what you put up with, you end up with. You get what you allow. You look around your life and you don't like your life, it's because you created it. You allowed it. At some point, you gotta put your foot down and say, enough is enough. I'm not going any further like this. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow God will do amazing things among us. Some of you talking about putting your foot down. Let me just tell you, before you put your foot down, some of you gotta put your phone down. I wish I could get a witness at 6 p.m. on our 3-year anniversary. So some of you got some stuff you got to put down before you can put your foot down. Your pride's got to be put down. Your fears got to be put down. Your doubts have got to be put down. Your criticism's got to be put down. Toxic relationships have got to be put down. Your past has got to be put down. Is there anybody in this place who's getting ready to say, I'm stepping into a brand new future and I'm about to put my foot down? Put your foot down. Put your foot down and watch what God will do. Consecrate yourselves. I just don't think it's coincidence that today marks 21 days that we complete our prayer and fast journey. You know what that means? That means for 21 days, people have been removing and replacing. People have been removing and replacing. I don't know about you, but I have a sense in my spirit tonight that God is getting ready to do amazing things among us. Come on, if you got some faith tonight for it, can you just go ahead right now and give your maker some praise in this place? Joshua, he gives his speech, consecrate yourselves and God will do amazing things. And I don't know if it's true, but I read in Joshua chapter 1 that God comes to Joshua something like 5 or 7 times. He's this brand new leader. And he says, Joshua, be strong and courageous. I mean, he says it multiple times. And the only logical conclusion that I can come to is the reason why God kept telling Joshua to be strong and courageous is because Joshua wasn't strong and courageous. Those of you that are stepping into leadership, those of you that are stepping into the future, you don't need the best strategies. You don't need all the money in the world. You don't need all the resources. But what you do need is strength and courage. And so I just got a feeling from Joshua 1 to Joshua chapter 3 that Joshua's probably still dealing with some bit of fear, some bit of anxiety. For 40 years, he knew what it meant to be number 2, but now he's number 1. And so it's in that place that God comes and he speaks to Joshua and he says, Joshua, tomorrow I am going to exalt you in front of the people so that all the people will know that I am with you just like I was with Moses. Whew. I gotta quit screaming, but this just makes me wanna shout. Because we live in a world today, in 2018, I'm not trying to be a critic, I'm not trying to be a naysayer, but come on, let's just all admit it. We live in a world today that every person around us, all of us, me included, it's like we're trying to build our little platforms. We're looking for a platform, we're looking for a voice, we're looking for an audience. We need attention, and social media doesn't help us as we're all trying to market ourselves and we're all trying to endorse ourselves and we're all trying to discover what's my platform, what's my platform? The only problem with a man-made platform is that if man built it, man can destroy it. That's why you don't want a man-made platform. You want God to build your platform. For if God builds your platform, there is no demon in hell who can destroy that thing. Let God market you. Let God promote you. Let God endorse you. Those that humble themselves before the Lord in due season, he will lift them up. I don't really care what the world is saying about VU Church. You know what I care about? What does God say about VU Church? For if God is for us, who can be against us? My best days are in front of me. God is not done with me yet. And if it's God's time, guess what? There's nobody who can stop it. All I gotta do is put my foot down. He will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will fight your battles. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Joshua, tomorrow I'm gonna exalt you, not for your glory, but as a reminder to all these people who are following you that I have never left you, I have never forsaken you. All I need you to do, Joshua, is put your foot down. Put your foot down. Move forward. I could just see Joshua there that day. His faith is being built. He's getting courageous. He's saying, this isn't like the last 40 years. Something's shifting. Something's changing. I watched Moses, but I believe that God has more in store for us. And so he gathers the people around and he says to the priest, he says, tomorrow I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant and I want you to make your way into the Jordan River. And the moment you put your foot into the Jordan River, the river will halt in flowing. Now, the Jordan River is an interesting thing as you read the Bible. The Jordan River in the Old Testament is mentioned like 180 times, in the New Testament about 18 times. Very significant place. We see the miracle of Elijah before he's carried up in a chariot of fire. He crosses the Jordan River. We see the miracle, his successor, Elisha. He heals a man of leprosy. He says, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And when he dipped, he was cleansed. Yet before those moments, there was this moment. This long river, the biggest river in Israel, 135 miles long, 100 feet wide. God said, tomorrow, I'm gonna do something amazing in front of you and all the people, and they will know that I am with you. And the next morning, the scripture says that the priests, they got up, all 2 million people gathered. And literally, just like God said, as the priests make their way to the Jordan, and as they put their foot down in the water, the scripture says that the Jordan River stops flowing. You know what I've learned about God? Is that sometimes you have to get your feet wet. Sometimes if you want God to move, sometimes you have to move in faith. You ever been to like one of those bathrooms that's got that sink that at first you look around for the handles, but you can't find it. You're like annoyed, you're like, what the heck? And then you're like, oh, it's one of those motion things. And so you go, whoo, you know? And it doesn't work, you're like, whoo, you know, you're like, And you go, whew. And it's now been 3 minutes. You're like, why can't I get water? And then some dude just comes over just real calm and just goes. And the water starts to flow. You see, putting your foot down is not a quick thing. Standing firm is not a short moment. But faith, it doesn't have to be big, but it's got to be stable. And I got to get planted. And as I stretch out and as I put my foot down, and when I move, God starts to move. And the scripture says those priests, they put their foot in the water. And the moment they touched the water, the flow of the Jordan River halted. And the people, one by one, they started crossing over. They made it to the other side of the Jordan River. And would you believe it? God's promise that happened 40 years prior was all of a sudden fulfilled as Joshua led the Israelite people into their promised land once and for all. How did they do it? They did it because they put their foot down. Come on, anybody believe in a God tonight who can do great and wondrous miracles? It's amazing to me because, honestly, I think about 40 years prior, the story we told last week of Moses, and then I think about this Jordan River story. So many similarities, yet so much contrast at the same time. For Moses, he takes the people out of Egypt, and they come up against the obstacle, and he declares, "Stand firm, and God will fight for us." And as he stretches out his arm, our God is motion activated. The Red Sea parts, the Israelites, they go through and they make it to the other side. Yet his disobedience led to wandering. However, as you read the story of the Red Sea is a picture of the Israelites leaving their past. But now, 40 years later, Joshua, first day on the job, the first miracle that he leads is not the parting of the Red Sea, but rather it's the halting of the flow of the Jordan River. Yet unlike the Red Sea parting represented them leaving their past. The Jordan River halting represented them stepping by faith into their future, into their spiritual inheritance, into their promised land. Some of you are saying tonight, I know, but I'm afraid of the unknown. Can you hear me preach it to you tonight? It's in the unknown that God makes himself known. You don't have to know what the end looks like. You don't have to have it all laid out. But what you do have to do is be willing to put your foot down. Some of you tonight are going, Rich, that's a cute story. Thanks for having me. But what is all this stuff about promised lands and this is thousands of years of history, and that's cool for them. But yo, dude, I don't have a promise. And I don't have a promised land. And I don't have a spiritual inheritance. I don't have a tribe. I don't have a community. I'm not on the journey with anybody. And you can keep telling yourself that, but hear me tonight, that would be an absolute lie. For I hope you know tonight that this was not the greatest miracle that took place at the Jordan River. For rather, about 1,000 years later, another man would come and put his foot in the water. You see, the true and better Joshua, you do know that Joshua's name in Hebrew means Yeshua. Yahweh saves. In Greek, Joshua is translated to Jesus. And about 1,000 years later, the true and better Joshua, his name was Jesus. He too came up to the banks of the River Jordan, and he put his foot down into the water. And as he put his foot down into the water, his cousin John baptized him. And as he baptized him, he went under the water. But as he came up out of the water, all of heaven opened up, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, and I am well pleased." Can I preach it tonight? And the moment Jesus came out of that water, whether you knew it or not, he was proclaiming that my mission and my ministry has now begun. And you say, what is my mission and what is my ministry? I have come because you have an inheritance. I have come because you have a promised land. And because I put my foot down, now every single one of you can cross over into your destiny, can cross over into your future. You too, by faith, have an inheritance. If you believe it tonight, somebody give God a shout of praise over this house. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your voice.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.